This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Idiot. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's quick lane or routine, difficult inspections, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Irma joins us now, and with our good friends at Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show. It is so great to have you back.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Jeff. Appreciate the time you're giving us very much here. Ty Felton, when I look at him, he is the guy that if you can somehow get some control over, it makes a big difference. You watch him all the time. What makes him a special wide receiver?
Well, he's really fast. He racks up the yards after the catch, so a big piece of their offense is predicated on quick hitters to him and letting him get the ball in space and make plays. He's really good at that. He's one of the faster receivers in the Big Ten. And then, you know, in the past he had some issues with drops and fumbles and things like that. And this year he's been far more sure-handed and featured in the offense very heavily. So combining all those things, he's had one of the best years by a Maryland receiver ever.
You know, I look at Billy Edwards, and even when he stepped in for Tua Tagovailoa last year, I thought, you know, or last couple of years, he always gave a great account of himself. Now it's been his full-time job. I know he's been banged up. So where is he right now, especially after the Iowa game?
Yeah, he's still banged up. You know, Mike Locksley said he's not sure if he'll play tomorrow. My guess would be that he will. He's that classic gamer kind of quarterback who's going to play unless he's got a limb falling off of his body. So, you know, I would think he would, but you never know for sure. He got knocked out of the game last week. The offensive line has not been very good in front of him, so it's just kind of wait-and-see mode now.
Which then brings up the possibility of MJ Morris, who stepped in last week, the transfer from North Carolina State. What does he bring to the table that can help an offense out?
I think he throws a little bit better deep ball. He's a little faster than Edwards. He's just not the same game manager kind of guy who you know is going to make the right decision most of the time. That's not to say he makes bad decisions, but that's a strength of Edwards. If he plays, it'll be interesting. He's had a few flashes when he's played, but he's also had some struggles and trying to make your debut as a starter in that kind of environment at Penn State would be very challenging, obviously.
Roman Hemby is a guy that, especially a couple of years ago, was like, wow. They got themselves a running back. How's he progressed, though? Because numerically he hasn't progressed, but has he progressed as a player?
Yeah, you're right. 2 years ago was the high water mark for him. He almost rushed for 1,000 yards as a redshirt freshman. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily lost a step or what it has been exactly, but there haven't been as many big plays. Some of it is that, again, the offensive line was significantly better. 2 years ago than it is now. I think Pro Football Focus has them as one of the worst, five worst offensive lines in the country this season. So, you know, that's been a big part of it for him. And there have been, you know, some carries going to other guys as well. But, you know, just in general, the running game has just not been very efficient or effective the past 2 years. And I think that's taken a toll on his numbers.
It seems to me when I've watched Maryland play, that they've tried to get the ball to him in the passing game because they feel that's the way to get him into the open field and maybe make something happen. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, he has shown in his career that he can make plays in the passing game. He's made his share of big plays on screen passes and things of that nature. And then maybe, like you said, you get him out in space and, you know, the offensive line is not as much of a deficiency. But he is definitely a running back who can make plays in the passing game. And I'm sure, you know, along with Ty Felton, he'll be a focus for Maryland tomorrow.
I'll tell you, Wade, the young tight end, what have you thought about his play to this point, Jeff?
I like him a lot. He seems to make a play every time the ball's in his hands. He's a big play kind of guy, really fast for a tight end. You know, doesn't have that prototypical NFL tight end size. He's a little more like a smaller version of the kid, Chigakonkwo. They had a few years, who plays for Tennessee now in the NFL. He's a playmaker. They have him and Preston Howard, another tight end who's capable of making plays. They haven't been, you know, dominant by any stretch, but both have chipped in for them this season.
How's Prather been at the other wideout spot opposite Felton?
He's been good. He's just shy of 600 yards. I think he has five touchdown catches. And, you know, he's been a victim of an inordinate number of misfires. You know, Edwards early on started hot, but when he did miss on the deep ball, it seemed to be Prather often. So he could easily have several hundred more yards and touchdowns. It's just there have been a strange number of missed throws in his direction.
All right, defensively, a couple of guys that jump out to me right away. Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker, who's been there, was his eighth, ninth year? And Dante Trader at safety. Jeff, give me a couple of thumbnails on each one of those guys and what makes them a really good college player.
Well, first, it's funny you make that joke about Hippolyte because I mentioned that to my son yesterday in conversation that he seems like he's been there forever. He's just one of those steady Eddie, solid guys who's going to lead the team in tackles, you know, half the time at least. You know, he's had a few big plays this season, but mostly he's just that kind of policeman type manning the middle, really consistent during the course of his career. Trader's an athletic guy, was a lacrosse star, you know, big-time lacrosse player coming out of high school. He's had a solid senior year, not a really loud one. Junior year. I think he'll still have a chance to play in the NFL, but, you know, he hasn't been able to put a lot of big plays on tape this year.
What about the pass rush part of it? Have they been able to generate any kind of consistent pass rush this season? And from whom?
No, they haven't. That's been one of their biggest weaknesses. They're toward the bottom in the Big Ten in sacks. Coming into this year, you know, everybody, including myself, thought this would be their best defensive front seven in quite a while. And it's been, you know, okay, but the pass rush just hasn't been there, and that's been an issue because, you know, they've been breaking in a bunch of inexperienced and true freshman cornerbacks. So the combination of a weak pass rush and young cornerbacks who are prone to allow big plays has not been a good one.
How's Fuller been at that defensive end spot, the transfer from Florida State? He's been there a couple of years. How's he been?
He's been solid. He's one of their better pass rushers. You know, he's not going to make an all Big Ten team, I don't think, but he's been a good player. And, you know, when you have a lack of pass rushers, you need pretty much anybody who can get to the quarterback. So him and another kid named Trey Reddick, who's a lot younger than him, second-year guy, I think he's probably the best pass rusher on the team. So some of the more, you know, highly touted guys like Jordan Phillips, you know, just haven't been able to rack up a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how would you evaluate the state of the program right now under Mike Locksley and how it's played out this particular season?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a tipping point heading into next season. You know, you had three good seasons in a row, won bowl games 3 years in a row for the first time in the program's history, but you didn't really get any marquee wins, and, you know, that kind of left the fans hungry for something more heading into this year. And then this year has been, you know, forget about the marquee wins. There just haven't been many wins, period. So, you know, it feels like next year is a very big one for Loxley. He needs to get things turned around, get the fans back, you know, back in the seats again, because, you know, they're not really exuberant at this point.
The way the Iowa game played out, how tough was that for Maryland, and how tough was it for a Maryland fan to watch that game?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a tease late in the game where they came back, and it seemed like they might actually have a chance to steal it. But, you know, it's been the story of this season. In those moments, that's when the other team has kind of just taken control and things have fallen apart for Maryland. So it happened again, you know, against Iowa, which came as no surprise given how, you know, the past couple months have gone. When you look at it, they beat USC on homecoming with a late field goal block. You know, if they don't get that miraculous field goal block, you're looking at, you know, likely an 0-9 Big Ten season. So I wouldn't say the Iowa game was any more painful for the fans at this point than the others. It's just been that kind of season.
Iowa, though, now we know Iowa's MO is running the football, especially with their quarterback situation. I know with the third guy, walk-on, and so forth. What was Iowa doing with the running game against them? We know Caleb Johnson's terrific, but it was just a ground-and-pound game the entire time with them?
Yeah, for the most part it was. They just pushed back Maryland's defensive front, you know, for most of the game, especially in the first half. They just kind of got out-physicaled. And, you know, when you get to that point where they're running these, you know, 6-7 minute drives, and then you go three and out to compound that with your offense, that's, you know, that's a losing formula almost every time. So, yeah, they were just mostly out physical in that game.
What's been the viewpoint on Penn State, especially being at the end?
You know, I think Penn State looks really good. This seems like one of Franklin's best teams that he's had in a while now. I actually thought that this might be the year they would take down Ohio State. But for Maryland, I think that, you know, at this point, you're hoping to go in and put up a good performance and compete. You know, just getting a win, obviously, it's a 24-25-point spread on the road. It's hard to motivate kids and coaches at this time of year when you don't know, you know, you have nothing to play for. You don't know what's next in the off season. So it's obviously a very daunting matchup for Maryland.
Once the game is over with, how much news might Maryland generate? And I don't mean Loxley, but in terms of player movement and things like that. I mean, is this something that is a concern there about player movement?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern every year. And then when you have a season that really goes down the drain like this one has, you're going to have a lot of people either looking for new places to go, or maybe coaches kind of hinting to them that, you know, you'd be better off down a level, or, you know, whatever else. So, and then you're also going to have staff changes, obviously, when you have this kind of season. So I would think there'd be a pretty good amount of news coming out.
Jeff, what's attendance been like for Maryland football? I mean, you go to the Big Ten, and now I know this is like over the last few years, but in the last few years, Michigan has come there on every other year. Ohio State's come there every other year. Penn State's come there every other year. This year, USC came in. So it's not like yet there haven't been marquee names coming in. Have the fans attached themselves to it and watched it there? What's the attendance been like?
You know, at times there's been a few little peaks where, you know, they get off to a 4-0 start and people come out, and then things kind of go south as the weather gets colder and the place empties out. So, you know, attendance hasn't been great, especially this year. I think, you know, they're toward the bottom of the Big Ten. You know, like I said, that marquee win against a Penn State or an Ohio State or a Michigan, they've come close several times, but they haven't been able to pull it off. And, you know, eventually fans, when they don't feel like there's a chance they're going to see a big name kind of win that they can brag about, a lot of them are going to stop coming out. So attendance hasn't been great.
Jeff, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and that great family.
You too. Thank you.
Jeff Ehrman joining us. He's with Maryland Insider on 3.com. Great to have him on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Let SMC be your MVP. With their all-star lineup of new Fords, Sunbury Motors has 31 of J.D. Power's best-in-class 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, discounted up to $4,250 and starting at just $28,815. SMC has 18 of the number one selling SUVs of all time, the 2025 Ford Explorer, slashed up to $5,300 and priced from just $43,920. Choose from over 40 of Motor Trend's number one ranked full-size truck, the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them reduced up to a whopping $12,416 with available 1.9% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Remember, Sunbury Motors Ford gives you more for your trade.
What they can do. Yes, the turf is in. It's been in now for a couple of weeks. I asked James if they're going to just, as a coaching staff, don't talk to the players about it. As a coaching staff, I said, you know, you're going to take a look at warm-ups just to make sure. He says, nah. He says, you know what, those guys do a great job with the turf. So then, you know, he was like, I don't think so. He says, we've checked it out and looked at it. Colorado 35-0 over Oklahoma State. That game is early in the third quarter. So Colorado on its way to another big win. Boise State doing what it needs to do. About 3 minutes ago in the third in Idaho, they lead Oregon State 24-7. Minnesota has built a 21-0 lead over Wisconsin with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter in Madison at Camp Randall. Navy now leads East Carolina 7-3, 2 minutes ago in the third quarter there. The Egg Bowl between Mississippi State and Ole Miss will kick off at 3:30. Now, normally that game's been on Thanksgiving night, but ABC and ESPN requested that they move the game from Thanksgiving night so it stayed away from the Packers-Dolphins game to be played at 3:30 this afternoon, and they said yes. So that's what they have there. Tonight at 7:30, Georgia will be hosting Georgia Tech. And that's an interesting one. And Nebraska is at Iowa tonight on NBC. So Georgia Tech plays Georgia tonight. So let me throw this scenario out there for you, which is very interesting. What if Georgia Tech were to win the game tonight? Georgia would be 9-3. So for anybody who thinks the three-loss team can't make it, and I've been saying that on this show, three losses, you're done, you're out. This is the one scenario where a three-loss team can make it. You're saying, Steve, how, they have three losses. How could Georgia make it? This is a non-conference game. Georgia would still play against Texas next week for the SEC championship. Georgia's in the championship game. They're in. If they were to win, they get the automatic bid and would get the bye in all likelihood. They'd be ranked ahead of Boise State. But as the conference champion, even if they're not one of the four highest-ranked conference champions, they're still in with three losses because they would get the SEC's automatic in. Now, I know it's not an automatic bid. It's the highest-ranked conference champions, blah, blah, blah. Well, the SEC champion is always going to be one of the five highest-ranked conference champions. Okay, well, okay, that's so. We'll leave it at that. That's why we'll use automatic. But that's how a three-loss team could get in. Georgia's that team. They could lose tonight, but win the SEC title game next week, and they're in with three losses. Now, they are a 17.5-point favorite. Georgia Tech's pretty good, though. I mean, it's not like I don't think Georgia Tech can give them a fight. I think they can give them a fight. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, I can tell you right now, Mississippi State, in my opinion, is not going to give Ole Miss much of a fight. Nebraska-Iowa is not a bad game. At least Nebraska knows they're going to a bowl game. They're 6-5. Iowa's 7-4. I don't know what the quarterback situation is at Iowa. I don't know if Cade McNamara is going to be able to play or if they're going to have to go with the guy that played against Maryland last week.
I was going to say, last I read, I don't think Iowa was sure.
All the dude has to do is hand the ball off.
Oh, that's true.
That's why I want to say Jay Feely was working with Tommy McCarthy on the Minnesota-Wisconsin game. And Jay said, well, he says, there's already more points in this game than what you saw last year when you did the Iowa-Nebraska game. I'm sitting in Detroit last year. I'd done that game in Orlando. I flew in Thanksgiving night. Now I'm sitting in Detroit getting ready for the Friday night game between Penn State and Michigan State at Ford Field. So I'm watching this game, and we all knew that the over-under in the game was 23.5 or something like that. Because Jack and I kept saying, what's the over-under in Iowa? We kept, every week, kept asking each other that because it was becoming comical. So in the first half, it's like a 10-10 game. I'm like, hey, okay, that's 20 points. They'll clear it, no problem. They go through the entire second half. Nobody scores. Both teams are turning the ball over. In the fourth quarter, an interception. Another interception. Another. Like, finally, they bring in the backup kicker. Iowa does. He barely clears the crossbar. They win 13-10, and it's 23. They're under the over-under. It's like, it's unbelievable.
You forgot how bad the Iowa offense was last year.
Oh, it was just, the game was so bad. I'm watching this game, and I kept thinking, it's like watching the bus and the train scene in The Fugitive. You don't want to take your eyes off the disaster.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. They're my two favorites. I don't know if we can get, can we try and get the king in the line today? We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I can check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Just you know, it'll be one more thing that you need to do. I'm so sorry, Todd. I forgot. He works so much harder than I do. It's unbelievable. Oh my goodness. I mean, that's, you know, works way harder than I do. So, yeah, here we are heading into a big weekend, big game tomorrow. I mean, big game for Penn State. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's a big game for Penn State. Need to win the game. Doesn't matter who they're playing. That's the big part. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Yeah. So, and that to me is what it's all about. And Yeah. So, yeah. You look at Penn State, Nolan Rucci is going to have to step in at right tackle because Donko's out. You know, and everybody has a lot of confidence in Rucci. I mean, I do. Players do. Coaches do. You're looking at the transfer portal. That has become, because of what's happened this year, an incredibly valuable player to pick up in the transfer portal, and they're going to need him the rest of the way, and they'll need him to play well. With Ford out, Ty Blanding and Xavier Gilliam would fill in those spots as, and it doesn't matter what order it is, defensive tackles 4 and 5. And we know Penn State plays a lot of people. They rotate players in. Ford had come on and had played so well. And he was really taking off, in my opinion, as a defensive tackle, as a player. Big man, quicker than you realize, had missed all of last year. Had missed all of last year because he got hurt on the first day of practice. Long-term injury on the first day of practice a year ago. Came back. Nobody really knew what they were going to get with him. And as the season went, like, boy, Ford's good. Boy, Ford's good. Wow, Ford's pretty good. Right? And so he will be missed as well. He's going to be missed. So now you have to go with younger players. Ty is a redshirt freshman, and X is a true freshman, and that's what you have. And this is going to be something that, as we go through with the 105-man roster limit starting next year, you are going to need your depth to negotiate 12 games of the regular season and as many as 5 games in a postseason. I mean, that's... And when I say as many as 5 games, you could be in a conference championship game, and then if you don't win, you're in the at-large bracket, so you're going to need 5. But, you know, you're going to need your depth to negotiate 16 or possibly 17 games in the season. Game is more physical than ever. I'm not crazy about turf. I'm talking about field turf, which is way better than AstroTurf. I mean, so it's not as if field turf is way better than AstroTurf. I mean, the stuff that Jack Ham played on was awful. It was awful. It was green carpet on concrete. It was just bad. And at least now field turf's got a little more give to it. I still don't like it, though. This is one of the reasons why you are seeing in the NFL, the Players Association is fighting to get more grass to be used on fields. Now, Penn State, should Penn State win? This will be interesting. Should Penn State win the game? Say they win and they host. It would be game 13. That would mean that at that stage, 10 of the 13 games Penn State would have played would have been on grass. Obviously, every game at Beaver Stadium. But they played on grass at USC and they played on grass at Purdue. So the only 3 artificial turf games that they played on this year were the opener at West Virginia, the game at Camp Randall against Wisconsin, and the game up at the bank last week against Minnesota. And again, Penn State suffered those 2 injuries last week, and I'm not so sure. I'd like to take a closer look at that. I mean, I saw how Donko got hurt. I'm not so sure turf didn't play a role in it. Not so sure it didn't play a role. That's me. I mean, it's worth looking at. So it's worth looking at.
Well, I think the NFL owners kind of lost a leg to stand on when they decided that they could handle putting grass in for the World Cup games next year.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because, for example, I mean, they've done this before. They bring in trays of grass. And for FIFA, it's a requirement. It is a requirement that World Cup games are played on grass. So that's what's... And so they want to play in Dallas, they'll bring in the grass. They want to play at MetLife, trying to put it on grass. Are they playing at the Rose Bowl or at SoFi? Do you know? At SoFi, they'll have to bring in grass.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Rose Bowl's been such a great host of the World Cup. But that's, you know, it's one way to do it. Let's just look it up and see. 2026 World Cup venues. Ooh, there's a map. Okay. So you start, let's see. The venues will be, ding, 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 ding. Let's see. Well, they have the cities here. That doesn't really help. You know, it says Los Angeles, but NRG Stadium in Houston, they'll have to bring in grass. Now, Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, I talked to Gary Stokin, who runs the Peach Bowl. They're bringing in grass, but they're putting it in this year. I think the Falcons are going to play in grass next year. They want to see if they can do it. Los Angeles is SoFi. They'll have to bring in grass for that. The Link has grass. Seattle will have to bring in grass. Santa Clara already has grass. Foxborough, they'll have to bring it in. Miami has grass. Vancouver, they'll have to bring it in. Monterey, no clue. Guadalajara, couldn't even guess. And Toronto, it looks to me in Toronto, they're actually going to be playing in the soccer stadium. Not indoors. They're going to be playing in BMO Field. So that's grass already. But BC Place in Vancouver, no. Lumen Field, Levi's. So it's a mixed bag. I mean, I'm going to guess Mexico City's grass.
I think that big open air stadium they use for the NFL is grass because... Wasn't the turf horrible there? Did they try and play a game at there after like a soccer game or something?
You know, the irony is they ended up playing that game in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Rams. You know what the irony was? I was actually in Mexico doing basketball when the game got moved. They're like, oh, okay.
That was the one they both scored in the 50s, wasn't it? Or the 40s?
Yeah. Oh, we sat there in the restaurant bar area, Dick Girardi and I. We had a blast watching that game. That was actually a lot of fun. I was like, all right, this is like really a great game. And the Rams won, if I recall. I think Mahomes threw an interception late. But
I was going to say, I think that's so long ago, Jared Goff was the quarterback yet for the Rams.
He was. Yeah, Goff was the Rams quarterback. That is a long time ago. That is a long time ago. All right, so Maryland tomorrow. Again, this is all about Penn State. Look, Maryland, for them, they can salvage something. It'd be incredible for them to get a big win over one of the top teams in the Big Ten. That part, that's the stakes for them. For Penn State, this is all about win the game and get to the playoff. Your stakes are as high as they can be for a game like this. I mean, these are big stakes. You need to win the game to get into the playoff, okay? It doesn't mean they can't get in with a loss, but do you want to lock it down so you're sitting there for the next 8 days with your feet up saying, just tell me who we're playing? That's okay. Penn State can do that. They win the game, they can have their feet up for 8 days and say, hey, you know what? Speculate all you want about who, quote, we're playing. We already know we're in. We don't have to worry about the opinion. We don't have to worry about what you think of our schedule. We don't have to worry about what you think of our wins. You don't have to worry about what you think of our losses. We're in. That's what you can do by winning this game. That's what it's all about. And you can't assume anything. As you know, I assume nothing. Done this too many years to not assume it, to assume things.
Too many weird things have happened.
Yeah, and part of it's football, part of it's basketball. Part of it's football, part of it's basketball. You know, it kind of enters into your mindset as to, like, anything can happen. Was that the suit telling you to stop talking?
No, I don't know what that was. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one here.
I'm shocked.
It is Black Friday.
So did you break into the place, or what'd you do?
They do allow me to have a key.
Oh, you have a key?
I did get a key.
Wow.
I needed one for the summer day that they were all at for the kids for Knoebels Day, and I was the only one here.
Oh, is that the one where the suit defeated all the kids in bump cars?
Yeah. He puts them all in the bumper boats and...
Oh, he's just so aggressive and so competitive. Okay, Kevin, they're 8 to 10-year-olds. Okay. Here I come! All right, we'll take a break, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Okay, so tomorrow it's 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock tomorrow from Beaver Stadium. It is the regular season finale and senior day. Doug asked a great question earlier about who's being introduced. You know what? I never asked for the list this time. And the reason I didn't ask for the list is that it's been such a mix over the years about he ran through last year, he's running through this year, or he might run through next year. I just, after a while, because of the new system, I just don't know. So I did not ask for the list. It's just such a different time. I probably should have asked for the list, but I didn't. Now, it was interesting because Letter of Intent Day is coming up on Wednesday. It's earlier. So Greg Kincaid, who does a great job on sports information, he and Chris Peterson, the whole group, Paul Morbo, they do a great job. Greg comes up to me at practice on Wednesday because I wasn't there Sunday or Tuesday because I was with the basketball team in Florida. And he says, hey, let me ask you about... He says, what do you do on Wednesday? I said, Wednesday? I was like, Wednesday. Well, I got to get up. I got to teach class from 8 to 9. Then I got something to do at 11. Then I got the show from 1 to 3 at WKOK. He looks at me and goes, oh. I said, why? What do you need? He goes, well, we got letter of intent day. I go, oh, wait, Greg, hold on. I said, actually, I said, just so you know, I told my class the last two classes I had, I reminded them that there would be no class on Wednesday, December 4th because I'm emceeing a letter of intent day. He goes, oh, I said, yeah, I actually already planned on it. It was one of those, like, he asked, what are you doing on Wednesday? So I just kind of thought, it's okay, what am I doing on Wednesday? It's like, okay. And then when he reminded me it was letter of intent day, I already had taken care of it. So I said, good. Yeah. I mean, the kids only have one final project to do anyway. They're fine. They don't need class on Wednesday the 4th. So.
What does emceeing that involve?
Emceeing that involves me introducing whomever's... They do it like the NFL draft.
Ah.
Okay? So, in other words, it's the equivalent of the commissioner when he gets up and says, hey, to make with the 18th pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers, he said to make their selection, here he is, one of the all-time greats in the history of pro football, right? T.J. Watt. Watt comes out, blah, blah, blah. That's what I do. I tell you who's making the next pick. Right, and if it's not a person that they're available, then I'm the one that announces the pick.
You don't get booed like Goodell, I hope, in that room.
So far, I've avoided it.
All right.
But I also haven't made any decisions yet that would make everybody mad.
No, that's true.
I haven't made any decisions that would make people mad. They may not be happy with how I call a play, but I don't think I've made any decisions where I go, what did you do that to us for? Like, I'm sorry. So no. So no, I don't get booed like the commissioner. Which I find to be a big plus.
Yeah. Well, especially it's only the other coaches in that room at that point, right?
No, they have donors are there.
Oh, no,
the entire staff, donors are in there. Athletic department personnel are in there.
Ooh.
The entire coaching staff is in there. The recruiting staff, everybody's in there. And James has turned it into a major production, and I appreciate that. I mean, Joe didn't do that. Joe didn't do it because he felt you had to earn something to get recognition. I completely agree with what Joe did. Now, in this era, I completely agree with how James does it because it's one of the biggest days and biggest decisions of their lives. Let's celebrate it and then put in the hard work after that. Okay? So both approaches I was completely on board with. Right? Yep, completely get it. Haven't done anything yet. Okay? So we just kind of keep it low-key. In this era, you've got to do things up big. And James does it up big, and I'm a small part of it, but I still play a part. You know? And what happens is normally James, they want to get the player and the player's family on the line first, whether it's, you know, a Zoom call or FaceTime or whatever it happens to be. James will talk to them for about a minute or two, and then he'll look over at me, and then we'll actually do it because it's on the live stream when we do it. And then I'll introduce whomever's making the selection. Sometimes it's on videotape, like a former player. And I'll say say they're signing a quarterback. Maybe they want Kerry Collins on videotape to make the announcement. I just have to make the, you know. That's what I do. It's pretty simple, Todd.
Yeah.
And you know, after working with me, simple's about all I can handle. So.
Hey, it sounds like it's a fun simple.
Oh, it's a fun day. It really is fun the way James does it. I actually have a lot of fun with it.